What a blessing to come together and just recognize that we serve an amazing God. Amen. We serve a big God who is in the business of doing the unexplainable, the immeasurably more. I want to invite you to take your Bibles today and turn to Psalm 100. Over the last few weeks, we've been in the Psalms and we've been looking at the challenge, if you will, of understanding repentance and knowing what biblical repentance looks like. And then with that, repentance leads to forgiveness. Last week we were in Psalm 32 and looked at the joy of forgiveness. And then today our topic is thanksgiving. And so with that, I hope you understand as you look and study the Word of God, as God's Word leads us to a place, and with His Spirit, to a place of conviction and correction in our life, when we have repented in a way that is consistent with God's Word, that is, that we have a change of mind, a change of heart, away from that of the world standards to God's standards, that God's ways are right. And so we've repented from that selfish way of the world and turning to the standards of God, living according to the standards or principles of God, that with repentance comes forgiveness. And then from forgiveness should generate in each of our lives a desire to give God thanks. Today, in Psalm 100, this is known as the Thanksgiving Psalm. Let's begin by looking in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. And let me just stop right there. When he says all ye lands, that could be understood all the earth. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. And so how appropriate today to have this dear family with us, to recognize the fact that God has a heart for the nations. It's all people that the psalm writer is appealing to make this worship, this declaration of praise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Now, before we actually get into Psalm 100 today, I want to point out a couple of things that will be helpful to us as we walk through this Thanksgiving Psalm. You see in verse 3 it says, know that the Lord. In other words, the psalm writer is indicating the importance of having a knowledge about the Lord. I want you to know this morning as we come together for worship, what you know of God will greatly impact your worship. Your worship today, if you come here and you basically, we talk about thanksgiving. And we enter into celebration and praise. But ultimately, folks, it is what we know to be true about God that will really generate thanksgiving that is honoring to Him. Now listen what I'm sharing with you. It is okay to be thankful for what God does for us. We should be thankful for what God does for us. But can I encourage you that as we grow and mature in our knowledge of God, we grow from becoming not only thankful for what He does for us, but rather thankful for who He is. Know that the Lord. And so one of our emphasis, or the emphasis of our ministry, is to know Christ. And I want to just challenge you, as you think and reflect upon this last year, in your worship, and that worship would be corporate worship in an hour such as this. That worship would be in a life group and study of God's Word. That worship would be in your own personal time with the Lord. How have you grown in your knowledge of the Lord? And how is that impacting your life today? The psalm writer is sharing with us how our worship, or what our worship should look like. In other words, in verse 1 and 2, he is inviting us to worship. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands, or all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And so you have to ask yourself, what will prompt me, what will encourage me to worship God? The psalm writer is wanting us to understand worship is not just an emotional experience. If we have our emotions elevated in this hour, we have some feeling that is generated in our mind and our heart, and we feel good, and then that is all worship is for us, a time of shouting and praising and singing unto the Lord, or maybe even that of reading God's Word. And we have our emotions stirred, and we're not changed, but we've not worshiped. And so you leave this hour, and how has your worship, how has your knowledge being challenged to grow an understanding of who God is in your life, how has that affected how you live beyond this hour? And so he invites in verses 1 and 2 that there's this time of praise and thanksgiving. And then he tells us why in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then he engages in an encouragement to worship again in verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And so you ask, well, why should I bless his name? What is it that I know about God that should generate worship in my life to praise him and to bless his name? And then he answers that in verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And so I hope you can see there, verses 1 and 2, give praise to the Lord. Verse 3, here's why. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5, here's why. And that you are growing in your knowledge and your understanding of who Jesus Christ is. My hope for you, my hope for me, and for us as a church family, that we know Christ. And we grow in our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and it results in our praise and our thanksgiving to him. That it's not just an emotional pep rally where we can have our feelings and emotions lifted and then only come down later on. Does that make sense to you? It would look like this. If we read Psalm 100 and left verse 3 and verse 5 out, it would look like this. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And it will be an exciting and enthusiastic event, but then you walk away saying, why? And so it's important. End our worship. Whether it's corporate worship, whether it's a life group, or whether it's my individual worship, that I am growing and maturing in my knowledge of understanding who Jesus Christ is. Make sense? And so that's what you see the psalm writer doing for us in terms of generating and elevating us to a place of being able to be thankful to God. And folks, it's not thankful in this psalm. It's not thankful to God for what he does. It's for who he is in our life. And I believe that true thankfulness, as we grow and mature, will lead us to a place of giving God thanks simply for who he is. To know him. To know God is to enjoy God. And to enjoy God is to share of his mercy and his grace with others. Our knowledge of God will lead to our celebration and worship of God. On the other hand, when our worship does not flow from our knowledge and understanding of who God is in our life, it becomes hollow and baseless. It is more of an emotional experience with artificial and empty passions. True worship is rooted in a true understanding of who the Lord is and what he's accomplished on our behalf. So I want you to understand, as we talk about thanksgiving. It's looking back and seeing that we have a God who is our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Redeemer. We have a God who is merciful and gracious. That's who He is. He is holy and just, and He's made provision for our redemption. That's who He is. And so we come together today to give thanks. A second thing that I want you to understand about this particular psalm in Psalm 11 is that it is prophetic in the sense that it's prophesying about a day that has not yet taken place. Now, I know many people have grown up reading Psalm 11 and says a Thanksgiving psalm, and we think of it within the context of, Lord, thank you for family, thank you for a roof over my head, thank you for good health, and all that's good. But this psalm goes far beyond being thankful for what God has done for us today. It is about what God has done, and it's about who God is in a day that has yet to take place. Verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands, all the earth. Have you ever witnessed all the earth giving praise to the Lord? No. I mean, even today we hear about a part of our world where there is such a small percentage of believers in Jesus Christ. Is that part of the world going to give shout to the Lord? No. So the psalm writer, what is he speaking of here when he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth? And I would submit to you that this is speaking of a day that has not yet come. It is a period known as the millennial kingdom. Now, we have been through the book in my time with you. We've been through the book of Revelations twice. The thing that I would say to you folks, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to know what God's Word has to say about not only the day and time in which we live, but the day that is coming. And so let me give you in summary what leads up to that millennial kingdom. We are living in what is known as the last days. I've shared with you, this is not predicting the fact that Jesus is coming and we're living in the last day, and so He's coming tomorrow. It's talking about the fact when the Bible says last days, we live in a period in time known as the church age where Jesus could come at any moment. There is no event that needs to take place for Christ to come. The only thing that's holding Him back from coming is the fact of His mercy and grace and giving the opportunity for whosoever will to come into a relationship with Him. When that event happens, it will be instituted by an event known as the rapture, where the church, the bride of Christ, will be caught up with the Lord. It's not a visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. We'll be caught up to meet Him in the air. It'll be a mystery to the world in which we live. Chaos will break out. There'll be a one world government, and there'll be political figures that will rise, and there'll be an antichrist that comes to a place of authority. And during that 7-year period, peace will be made with Israel by the world, this world government. 3.5 years into that, the antichrist and the one world government will turn against Israel. And in that last 3.5 years, it's known as the Great Tribulation. Defeat of the Antichrist and the binding of Satan will take place at the end of that tribulational period. And with that, Jesus Christ will visibly come. Acts chapter 1. Why do you stand here gazing? Don't you realize when Jesus Christ visibly ascended to go and sit at the right hand of the Father, why are you standing here gazing? Don't you realize that one day, in like fashion, the Lord Jesus Christ will return, visibly descending upon the face of this earth. I've shared with you, it's going to come at a moment when it looks like that God's people, Israel, is going to be annihilated, and Jesus Christ will show up, and guess who will be with Him? We will. And those loved ones who have gone in Christ, and we will watch, and He will speak. And the one world government will fall, and Jesus Christ for 1,000 years will set up a rule and a reign upon the face of this earth. That's the period that this psalm is referring to. Because during that 1,000 years, Jesus will visibly rule and reign. This is known as the Millennial Kingdom. The place is Jerusalem. The scene is the temple. And the occasion is the celebration of Jesus Christ as the coming priest and king of this earth. Jesus came as a child. We're getting ready to celebrate that coming, that first coming. But folks, He's coming again. And in that second coming, He will come not as a child, but He will come as king and rule and reign for 1,000 years. It is that background that Psalm 100 is written. So with that, we read, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." The first thought I want us to look at this morning, and the outlines for you in the worship folder, is a long-awaited entrance before the Lord. The psalm writer is speaking about a time that has long been waited for, anticipated for, this time when every tongue will confess, every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord, when Christ will rule and reign upon the face of this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a long-awaited entrance before the Lord. The Antichrist is defeated, the false prophet is dead, and Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. Isaiah prophesies about what this time will look like. He says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, "Look, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them." That will be the attitude, that will be the environment, that will be the setting during this literal 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with this long-awaited entrance before the Lord, His presence provides complete harmony. Where all people, can you imagine? All people will come together and shout and give praise to the Lord, serving the Lord with gladness. Boy, if you're serving on the nominating committee then, it'd be a great time. Amen. Serving the Lord, all working together with a common bond, with a common vision, and that is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, praising Him and thanking Him, not for what He's done, for who He is. And there'll be harmony where all the earth will come together. The presence provides complete harmony. A second thing, the Lord's presence provides complete happiness. Again, He says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." I want you to look at that word presence there. In verse 2, the word presence can be understood as face. So let's read it that way. Come before His face. Did you hear me? Come before His face with singing. Now the reality of it is, folks, is the Lord is present today. But there's coming a day when we'll come before His face with singing. And I'm going to tell you that should generate in your heart and my heart. This is a day that we anticipate. But folks, as we understand that day, should it not impact how we worship God today? Grow in your knowledge. Know that God is. And as you grow and know and understand who He is, it will result in thanksgiving. Again, I do not minimize any thanksgiving that is offered to God. But ultimately, we should get to the place where our thanksgiving is for who He is in our life. And the psalm writer talks about coming before His face. In the Old Testament, at best, a Jew had restricted entrance before the Lord. And a Gentile was even more restricted. However, in verses 1 and 2, it speaks openly that all people will be able to come before His face and give Him thanksgiving, give Him praise. Calvary has changed that restriction. Where the temple veil has been rent, where access is directly into the presence of God, even in our day and time, directly into the presence of God. But there will come that day when we will stand before His face. The second thing I want you to see is a growing understanding of the truth about the Lord. He says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." A growing understanding of the truth about who He is. First of all, concerning His person. Concerning the person of the Lord. He says, He is God. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is Yahweh. He is Elohim. And the truth about Jehovah is that He is the one and only true God. I mean, when you start talking about all the peoples of the earth today, you think about the number of gods, little g, that man has established, that man has created. But in this time, it'll be understood, a growing understanding of the truth about who the Lord is. And that is simply concerning His person. He is not a God. He is the God. Next, His power. The truth about His power. It is He that made us. We've looked at that simply through His spoken word, that He has created each of us. And then finally, concerning His purpose, to establish a relationship. That should humble every one of us to know that He is God and He desires to establish relationship with me. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then the last thing I want us to see is a call to all generations to appreciate the Lord. A call for all generations to be thankful for the Lord. He says in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Come to Him thankfully. All generations, that when we come before the Lord, we need to come before Him thankfully because He is God. He is the Almighty. And He desires relationship with each of us. And then the last thought is commune with Him thoughtfully. When you interact, when we come together for worship, do so in a thoughtful manner, for the Lord is good. In our worship earlier, we were challenged, do you remember? Remember the goodness of God. Remember His grace. Remember His mercy. Truth endures to all generations. Now, in this 1,000 years, you know, depending on who you read as to how long a generation is, I read some 40 years, some 30 years. What they say about, you know, 60s, the new 40, what's that? What they say about that? I said, dude, y'all should have told me that years ago. I'd have took better care of myself, right? But basically, in that 1,000 years, there will be those who are born during that period. Now, some of you are saying, where'd they come from? They came through the tribulation, all right? Not from those of us who came with Christ. We're standing and serving with His kingdom. But there'll be people who are brought through that tribulational period who are part of this millennial kingdom who will marry and who will have children. And over that 1,000 years, you're looking at somewhere around 20 or 25 generations being born. And so what the psalm writer says, be thoughtful in how you know Christ and make Him known so that the next generation will know Him too. Again, our time is walked away or has gotten away from us, but some of you say, how can this be? Well, go back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve people lived, what, much longer. Sin had not had the impact upon humanity that it's had today. And in this kingdom, when Jesus Christ sets up and rules and reigns, these children will be born, guess what, with a sin nature. But it'll be a much better day to live in. And sin will be dealt with much rapidly. You want an example of that? Go to the book of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira. It was dealt with quickly. And so that's what's going to be happening as Jesus rules and reigns. But the reality of it is, during this 1,000-year reign, those families that are part of these generations will have to make a decision for Jesus Christ as well. And when Satan is turned loose for the last time after this 1,000 years, guess what? Even in this environment, even in an environment that's similar to the Garden of Eden, man will reject the gospel. You say, what's the purpose of the millennial kingdom? There's several. One of them is simply this, to reveal the reality, the fact that even in the best environments, man needs a Savior. We need redeeming. And that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. And so even in this millennial kingdom, guess what? They're going to need next gen. Y'all listening? Even in that environment, they're going to need next gen. The present generation is going to be important that they thoughtfully share and disciple the coming generation so that those generations might know Christ and not only know Him, but make Him known. You see, folks, we need to be thankful for what God does. But our thankfulness should never end there. It should grow and mature as we grow and mature, that our thankfulness is directed more at who He is. He's good. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's sovereign. He's God. And it's my desire that this Thanksgiving season, as you spend time with family and friends, that the root of your thankfulness will begin with thankfulness for who God is in your life and mine. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today, Lord, for every family that's represented here, that they would know You. And as they grow in their knowledge of You, they will grow in their understanding of how to live the Christian life in this day and time. I pray for parents, for grandparents. Lord, I pray for everyone that's here and whatever role they play within the context of our church family and our community. Lord, ultimately, it requires our knowing You to be able to make You known. So, Father, would You work even today that our worship would be more than just lifting our voices and praising, but, Lord, knowing the reason we worship is because of who You are. You're good. And we thank You for that. Would You take just a moment before we dismiss, right where you're sitting, as you pray, do you know the Lord as not simply the Messiah, but your Messiah, your Redeemer? Do you know Him that way? Today, right where you're sitting, you can make that declaration by simply saying, Lord, today I come thankful to You, knowing that I need redeeming and You are my Redeemer. And I turn away from selfishness and sin. I repent of adopting the world's system and the world's way of doing things, and I repent of that and I adopt Your standards and Your way of thinking, and I embrace the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and I ask Him to be my Lord and Savior. If your heart this morning is to make that profession, God says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that right now. The church, let's prepare our hearts for the season to give thanks. And all the things that we're thankful for, ultimately may it find its root in our thankfulness for who God is, who the Lord is in our life. You take a moment to pray. Father, we do thank you, Father, that you are righteous and you're holy. There's none like you. We thank you that you desire relationship with us, and through that you have provided the ultimate sacrifice in the person and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you today that we have a God who's not only holy and righteous, but one that is merciful and gracious. And Father, through repentance, we have been forgiven. And today, we say thank you. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.